Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hi there, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And we're pleased to welcome back as our guest Rhode Island State Senator Gail Golden, a Providence Democrat. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Rhode Island's Democratic establishment faced an angry backlash this week over a series of legislative endorsements. In one case, the state Democratic Party endorsed a former Republican who supported President Trump in 2016 over a Democratic state representative from Providence, Maura Walsh. The party has now withdrawn that endorsement, as well as one for Greg Achardo, a state Senate candidate. Senator Gail Golden, what is your perspective on why these endorsements were made, as well as some by local district communities throughout the state that have left some women progressives feeling slighted?
Well, I think if we look at what happened this week, which was we saw these endorsements happen, and then Joe McNamara, who's the chair of the party, rescinded two of those endorsements. That's a real story of what happens in the Democratic Party. How can one person make those endorsements and one person take them back? You know, we have a system that is not working, and it's not representing the fact that we don't endorse people based on what the party platform stands for.
How do you expect this to impact legislative elections taking place later this year with progressives trying to make more inroads into the General Assembly?
Well, I think all of this is about asking the people who are coming to your door, asking for their vote, asking them what they really stand for, because we just can't simply say that that star beside their name means anything.
And the star is the signature of the endorsement from the state Democratic Party. Scott, it's no secret that what critics call DINOs, Democrats in name only, have made up a large part of the legislative Democratic mainstream for a long time. But what is your explanation for why this became so controversial this week?
Well, I think there's the perception that this was done in a back room, as the senator has mentioned, that it was done by a small group of people, looks to have the fingerprints of the House Speaker on it, because as we know, Speaker Mattiello wields large control over the Democratic State Committee and over the Democratic State Chair. What's fascinating to me is we're trying to define who's a mainstream Democrat. I wish some of these old established people would actually read the Democratic National Convention platform, because things such as abortion rights and, you know, sensible gun regulations have been in the mainstream of the Democratic Party now for, I would say, a generation just about. So if anybody's outside the mainstream, it's this old, predominantly male, white, frankly, Jurassic kind of leadership in the Democratic Party.
What do you say about that, Maureen?
Well, I say there's two things going on. As far as the endorsement and the way it was handled terribly. And it's a typical problem for the Democrats. It's very hard for them to get a reliable, steady chairman. It's a thankless job because of the deep divisions within the party. You think of Bill Lynch, who tried so hard. David Caprio sort of flamed out, if you will. So it's the leadership has been very difficult to manage. And I certainly think that we should think about getting new leadership. I think you ought to, after the session, I think the chair has got to step down. But more importantly, I think some of the problems reflect the deep divisions within the Democratic Party. You may not agree with the old guard, if you will, but they are there and they make a difference. And it's not just at the top. Local Democratic committees have endorsed some of these candidates. John Carnevale, go figure. Someone who's, you know, up for indictment. So it's really part of the structure of Democrats in this state and the divisions ideologically in terms of between the progressives and sort of regular, if you will, old guard Democrats.
Senator Golden, you say the state Democratic Party is too much of a top-down process. What would it take to change that? And do you think anything meaningful will happen now to change that?
I think we have to have a wholesale reform of how we appoint people to the state committee. There has been a disproportionate amount of lobbyists, people who work in the state house, people who are otherwise connected to the speaker in some way on those state committees, or have been appointed for years and nobody has thought about whether or not they really reflect the diversity of our whole Democratic Party. I also think that we have historically allowed the speaker to take full ownership of the Democratic Party. But the Democratic Party does not belong to one person. It belongs to all of the Democrats. And we should have a party system that reflects that.
Well, let's switch gears and talk about how the announcement from U.S. Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy that he plans to retire represented a gut punch for many supporters of abortion rights. The concern is that an increasingly conservative Supreme Court will restrict abortion. Senator Golden, you're the Senate sponsor of a bill meant to protect abortion rights in Rhode Island, but we've seen how legislative leaders have been unwilling to bring that legislation to a floor vote for the past 2 years. Is it going to be any different next year? And if not, what would it take to change the dynamic?
You know, what I certainly hope is that when people are door knocking in their neighborhoods this summer and they ask the people who vote in their district to ask them for their vote, that the people in their district are saying, what are you doing to protect us against the Trump agenda? And that includes, how are you going to vote to support reproductive health care in this state? What are you going to do to protect immigrants? How do you actually stand on these important issues that are issues that have to do with our LGBT community? There are so many different ways that this will impact our state, and we are the front line to making those decisions. So I'm very hopeful that people will ask those questions and vote accordingly. And I am certainly hopeful that 2019 will see the passage of the Reproductive Health Care Act as it currently is.
Maureen, polling shows that a majority of Americans support abortion rights, but we know that Rhode Island is a very Catholic state and that influences the situation here. Is there any reason to expect that legislative leaders will allow a floor vote on this abortion rights bill next year or sometime thereafter?
Yes, I think there is a good possibility that this will happen, because after the Supreme Court appointment, we know that the court is going to be more conservative. And there are concerns about whether or not the court is going to upheld the right to an abortion. So I really think it's incumbent upon even the leadership to make this statement, because what it says nationally, I mean, it's a hypothetical, but what it says nationally is these are states that are serious about protecting this right. I think you're right when you talk about the idea of restricting abortion. It's not likely immediately that they will overturn Roe v. Wade, but I do think there will be movements to restrict the ability in different states to have an abortion.
Scott, we had Speaker Mattiello here in May, and he talked about how this is a very divisive issue. And he said there's not a case right now before the U.S. Supreme Court. Is there some merit to his point of view that if and when Roe v. Wade or an element of that comes before the Supreme Court, there would still be time for the legislature to act?
But I want to ask Senator Golden that. You know, voting pro-choice is really easy for you. You're an East Side liberal. You represent a very liberal pro-choice district. Don't you understand how divisive this is and how tough this is for some of your colleagues? And what the speaker said is, nothing's happened yet. How do you answer his call to say, wait until this actually happens and we have to do it?
A few different ways. The Guttmacher Institute says that 57% of women of reproductive age in this country are living in a state that is hostile to reproductive rights. Any number of those states have passed bills and have done so, gotten their governors to sign them in a full-on effort to attack reproductive rights for women in that state and intended to eat away at the protections that have been afforded to us through previous Supreme Court cases. What I know is that it is important to the women of the state and plenty of men to have clarity about what our laws are in Rhode Island. And I hear every day from people across the state, not just the East Side, that this is an important issue to them. And I think that that is what my colleagues will hear when they're out talking to voters this summer.
All right. That's all the time we have, so we need to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Providence State Democratic Senator Gail Golden.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. And as usual, you can find a lot more on our website at ripr.org.